Hi, I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like spooky things. And we also like
self-care for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you do for self-care this week?
This week for self-care, I went on a hike with Ronan and my mom.
I saw the pictures.
Yeah.
They were so cute.
It was like the perfect day.
The child is so happy. Like,
yeah, he is.
He's like the epitome of sunshine.
It was like a great day because it wasn't like super hot out. It was like kind of overcast.
Well, you don't know what you're going to get in Colorado. Like every day is a gamble.
So we were like, let's go for a hike. And we went and like, it was just really good.
Where'd you go?
We went to Lair of the Bear.
Oh, Octopus Tree?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I know about Lara LaBarra.
It was fun. It was a good time. It was so perfect and just, like, filled my cup all the way up.
I like going in September hiking.
Yeah. Because
it's usually a little bit more mild.
Yeah.
August and July, forget about it. No, thank you.
Yeah. Well, what did you do?
Well, this week, I don't know. I did something similar. I just, like, painted my nails.
Okay.
Then I found
what out. What color?
I did a purple color.
Purple.
But I found out this sucker's trying to pop off.
Yeah.
I was like painting my nails.
It looks kind of swollen.
Yeah. No. I don't know what's happening.
Huh.
You know how when you're like, oh, that was traumatic. I stubbed it. Nothing has happened.
That's like me with all my bruises. Steve is like, where are you getting all these bruises?
Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I need to repaint it.
Why would I remember where I get bruises? Like, what a weird question.
Well, I used to like have bruises on my hips because I like was developing hips and I wasn't used to them. So I'd slam them into things. I was like, it looked like somebody was grabbing me on the hips. And I'm like, I'm 12. Nobody's into that. But yeah, no, like my second toenail's trying to pop off. And I'm like, should I just super glue it at least for the wedding? I was like,
I have like a kit of fake toenails because like 2 summers ago, I fucked up my big toe.
I remember that.
Yeah. And it like was like a tiny little nub. So for a while, I just glued on a fake toenail.
How long did it take to grow back?
It took like a year. It took forever.
I heard 18 months.
Yeah, it takes a long
time.
Well,
for me, I'm like, I'm going to super glue this sucker until after the wedding, and then I'll pull it off, and then I might be like, hey, Danae.
Yeah.
Because at least it'll be like winter, so I'll be wearing mostly shoes.
Yeah.
But I'm like, for my wedding, my mom's like, trust me, no one's looking at your toe. I was like, I understand that.
It's a beach wedding. People are definitely going to look at your toes.
Yeah, I was like, I understand what you're... Wow, okay, thank you. That made me feel self-conscious.
Sorry. Well, I told you I got the toenails,
If it rips off in the middle of the night...
Let me know.
I'll be like...
I'll glue it on for you.
But, like, how does it not... Like, how do I not... I am not a drinker. You know me. I'm not like, I was wasted the other night. Like,
yeah, how do I not remember
this injury? But,
I don't know.
Maybe my toe is just like... Peace out.
It's time for a new nail.
Yeah, it was black.
Huh.
I don't know what happened.
Weird.
You're welcome. Enjoy that information, everybody. Keep it in your noggin. All right, what are you telling me about this week?
Okay.
Other than a falling off toenail.
So this week I'm telling you actually a local story from Greeley, Colorado. Your favorite. Your town favorite.
Sorry, I'm laughing because of what we just talked about.
I know. This is the story of Janelle Matthews, a 12-year-old girl who went missing in 1984.
Was it during a Christmas concert?
Yes, and it was one of the first children featured on the back of milk cartons. Her family would not receive answers or justice for almost 4 decades later, thanks to a stranger. Someone always knows something.
I slightly know this story. Well, the Christmas concert, yeah, like I was like, was it a Christmas concert? Oh, yep. Well, shit, she does know this.
So, 1980s in Greeley, it was a really small, safe community, kind of like rural.
Was UNC like a place then?
I don't know.
Okay.
But
good times.
It was like chill, you know, like people were like neighbors and friendly.
Is it a farming community? Because I know,
I don't think,
like,
it's like super
still
farming,
hold
but
on to that.
It's definitely like cowtown out there, okay. You know. So the Matthews family resided here. The dad was Jim, mom was Gloria, older daughter is Jennifer, and the youngest daughter is Janelle. As I said, the story is about Janelle. So just a little bit about her before we just dive in.
Yeah.
Janelle Renee Matthews was born February 9th, 1972. She was a very kind and loving child who could also be pretty feisty and fiery.
Good. I love that.
She absolutely loved music. She loved singing and performing, and she was a vibrant, outgoing, full of life little girl. So we begin on December 20th, 1984. It was about to be a busy night for the Matthews family because Gloria, the mom, was going to head out to the airport to go see her own family who she hadn't seen in years.
Was there an airport in Greeley?
No, I don't know where she... Probably okay. DIA. But she was planning on going home to LA to see her family for a few days because she hadn't seen them in a while.
Her mom is from California.
Yeah, so okay. She was going to be back the day after Christmas.
Okay.
Jennifer, the oldest daughter, had a basketball game. And Janelle had a choir concert at the United Bank in downtown Greeley. And she was especially excited about this because the performance was going to be televised.
Oh, wow.
So it was like a big deal.
Yeah.
And since Jim was solo parenting that night, he had to choose which daughter's activity to go to. And he chose to go to Jennifer's basketball game. Which was fine because Janelle had friends in choir with her. So, like,
okay,
she
good.
Wasn't,
I was like, oh,
she wasn't like
sad.
Butthurt that he wasn't there. Like, it was just like, whatever.
Okay, I guess
she's gonna be on
tonight.
TV.
Yeah.
So he got Janelle
we'll
McDonald's.
Catch her on TV later.
Yeah. He got Janelle McDonald's on the way to drop her off at the school. And then from the school, she loaded up onto the bus, and then the bus took her to the choir.
I was about
concert.
To ask, like, why are they going to the school? Yeah. Like, okay.
So that was the last time that he saw her. The plan was that Janelle would get a ride home with her bestie, Deanna Ross, after the concert. So 8 p.m., the bus arrives back at school where Russell Ross, Deanna's dad, picks them up. The girls were, like, stoked that they'd been on TV. They were... just kind of like
so
excited that
so
the
she made it through
well.
The choir concert
yeah,
like,
yeah
okay
and they're just like excited. They're like, oh my god, like we're gonna be
sure.
famous.
Yeah, of course
they're in great spirits. So around 8:30 the Rosses drop Janelle off at her home. They notice that the garage door was open but Jim's car wasn't there, so they didn't really think too much of it other than that she beat her dad and her sister home.
Well, she's 12, so it's yeah. not like it's, you know, like a five-year-old where it's no. a little bit more concerning.
Yeah, she
12
can be
is
home.
Fine. Yeah.
So anyway, she waves goodbye to her bestie, Deanna. She goes inside, and she flicked the porch lights on and off to signal, like, I'm inside, all's good, the door's locked.
I kind of love that.
The usual thing that you do with your friends.
Did you flick? I never did that.
I never flicked the lights off. I always just, like, wave out the door.
My biggest thing is, like, guys, just wait for somebody to get inside. It's an extra,
yeah.
like, 5 seconds.
If I'm waiting in the car, I always wait for my friend to, like, close the door.
Yeah, I do, too. Just to make sure they get inside safely.
Yeah. So, by 9:30, Jim arrived home. He called out for Janelle, but she didn't reply.
I'm so sorry. What time did the Rosses drop them off, or drop her off?
8:30.
Okay, so that was just... I'm sorry. I just needed that back in my mind. So they dropped her off at 8:30, and Janelle's dad was at 9:30?
Yeah, he okay. came home 9:30. He's looking for her in the house. Like, he can tell she's been there. Like, the TV's on. Her shoes are off. Her tights are on the couch. So, like, she's obviously home yeah. in his mind.
Maybe she fell asleep.
Yeah, so he's like, where is she? She doesn't answer. So then he goes upstairs to see if she's in her room. But she's not there either. And the house is just, like, eerily silent. And in that moment, Jim got a sinking feeling in his stomach that something was off. Like, he never really panicked about stuff like this, but something was telling him something's not right.
You kind of get like a buzzing feeling when something's not right. Like, yeah. I've had that before where you're like, ooh, I don't like this scene.
Mm-hmm. And so then Jennifer got home around 10 because it was kind of like the same thing where it's like, she has to like be there after practice and whatever. So she gets home around 10.
That was going to be my question.
Like, and then her dad's like, do you know where Janelle is? Like, she's not here. And Jennifer's like, well, I don't know where she is. Like, she's not here. That's weird. I just got home from
a basketball game.
Yeah, so he's super worried. So then in turn, Jennifer becomes super worried because she's like, I don't know. And so Jim ended up calling some of Janelle's friends just to be like, hey, like, did you see her? Like, what's going on? And he called Russell Ross.
Because he's like, maybe she ran in to, like, change or something and ended up, like, leaving with her friend. Yeah, maybe, like, went to
go hang out at a friend's house or something. Who knows? And Russell Ross is like, we dropped her off around 8:30. Everything seemed normal. She flicked the lights on and off. He was like, but come to think of it, one thing that was kind of weird was that the garage door was open. And Jim was like, oh, no, like, that bit of information did not help him feel better because he was like, we never just leave the garage door open. We always close it. Like, they were very diligent about locking doors.
I feel weird when I see, and granted, like, I never open my garage door. I literally open my garage door to park my car and that's it. But like, do garage doors being open, like, even if it's just dark, do they make you feel uneasy? Because they make me feel uneasy.
Yeah, it should be closed.
Yeah. Like, why is it open?
Yeah. So that detail really stood out to him, and he's starting to freak out. He's like, I need to call the police. So he calls the police. He reports, you know, Janelle's nowhere to be found. She seemingly just, like, vanished into the night. And it's, like, snowing out. Like, it's a, you know, it's almost Christmas.
It's Colorado. Yeah, yeah.
It's snowing.
Yeah.
So it's cold. So Greeley Police Department, they came to the home, and they're like, walking the family through the house to see if anything was missing. Because in their minds, it's the 80s. They're like, oh, 12-year-old girl, she's a runaway. But
yeah, of course.
As they go through the house, they notice the only thing missing is Janelle's coat. And what's even weirder is that her shoes are not missing.
I was about to ask about the shoes. I was going to be like, because, like,
if you're going to go outside, you're going to put some boots on.
Yeah, 100%. And put your coat on. Yeah.
But she only grabbed her coat or whatever, and there's no shoes missing. So they're weird. Like, okay, strange. And they're starting to lean away from the runaway child theory, and they're kind of like, this is not looking good. So then they go outside of the house, and they find some even more creepy evidence. There were shoe prints in the snow that led from the garden-level window in the basement to the garage. And what's creepier is that some of those footprints seem to have been raked out. Like, someone took a rake and tried to, like,
erase
their footsteps.
No. That's so creepy.
So creepy. So that just goes to show someone is, like, aware they're making
literally
footprints.
Literally their tracks.
Yeah. And so now the police are like, this seems like a possible kidnapping. And it seems like whoever it was probably watching her and knew, maybe knows the family, because how are they going to know that Janelle's going to be home in only like an hour span of like her being home alone?
Because in the grand scheme of things, an hour is not that long.
It's not that long.
Yeah.
So it seems like someone had been kind of like staking it out and like the family's
Here's my question.
Tendencies.
Why was the garage door open?
I don't know.
Okay. I was wondering if that was like connected in some way. Cause I'm like, yes, all of that. Correct.
Yeah.
But like, why would the garage door be open?
I don't know. And so that it's just like one of those things where it's like, it's just one of those like mysteries of we never really find out.
And here's another question. Maybe you know this, maybe you don't. Was the garage door connected into the house?
What do you mean? Like the button or what?
Like the garage door, you know. For example, like my garage door.
Oh, yeah. Your garage door doesn't lead into the house. Yes. The garage door that they have a door into the house. So it leads
And I'm like,
out.
Maybe that's a dumb question, but mine doesn't.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's a good question, though, because that's how she like kind of she when they dropped her off, she ran through the garage, went into the house.
Alone, if the garage door wasn't connected immediately, I'd be like, well, there's no connection. But. Okay.
But it does have a door into the house.
I'm like, I do have some context of why I'm asking. So.
Yeah. So things are not looking good.
No.
It's a fucking nightmare for Jim. And meanwhile, Gloria had arrived in LA. She's calling Jim to be like, hey, I arrived safely.
How are the girls?
She has no idea. And Jim has to, unfortunately, be like, hey, our daughter's missing. So Gloria is freaking out. She has this mother's intuition. She just like felt that her daughter was taken. And there were just no clues as to like who would do this. Why would anyone do this?
Yeah.
And the next morning, officers are on top of it. They're searching everywhere. They're knocking on neighbors' doors. They're trying to see if anyone saw anything. But there were no witnesses.
Oh, fuck.
The only thing that they really came up with was that one neighbor who shared a fence with the Matthews, he said that at 8:42 p.m., his dog started barking like crazy. And he had, like, a really chill dog that just, like, didn't bark at every fucking sound thinking like what my I was dogs. Thinking?
Yeah,
because my dogs bark at literally like someone closes a car door and they're like, oh my god.
Well, Ruger will hear like I'll be listening to like or watching a TikTok and like their ring doorbell will go.
Oh
off.
My god, the ring and Ruger's doorbell.
Like, oh my fucking god. Yeah. I'm like, buh.
My dogs do that too.
Buh, buh. No. But go away.
This neighbor's dog was like chill and was not anything like our dogs. So it was unusual that he started barking like crazy.
Okay. I can't relate to a dog that doesn't bark because the wind's blowing a different way.
Yeah. At thunder, Jonesy.
Fireworks,
Jonesy. So other than that, the police come up empty-handed. They don't have anything that neighbors saw that was unusual. They just don't have anything to go off of.
Yeah.
And
that's frustrating when you're like, I mean, nothing.
Like, all they can really say is that she disappeared between 8:45 and 9:30. Like, okay, that
gives us nothing. Yeah.
So there's no way in their mind that they're thinking that this is just some random stranger or some drifter passing through town. Like, it has to be someone they know. And it has to be someone who was either watching them or just knew them really well.
Yeah, makes sense.
So Gloria came back home the following day. She was understandably, like, devastated.
Upset. Yeah.
And by December 24th, there were still no leads, no suspects, nothing to go off of.
There's no time of year that this is great, but, like, especially during the holidays. Yeah. Like
they had all her presents under the tree. Like, what a horrible, horrible time.
Yeah.
So the FBI gets involved at this point, and now they're offering a $20,000 reward. And as soon as the reward money goes up, tips are coming in left and right. And keep in mind, this is the 80s. So they're like literally manually listening to phone calls, writing down the tips, logging them, filing them, and then deciding like which tips they are deeming as legit, which ones they think they should follow up on. It's all manual.
Because you have fucking weirdos who are like, I saw a man at the corner store and he looked really creepy. It's like,
yeah, it's like, okay.
But he was at the corner store. Yeah.
Yeah.
People are fucking weird.
Yeah. So they're just absolutely flooded with information. And the reality of it is that some tips just don't get followed up.
Yeah. So that's great. But it also sucks at the same time. It's great when, like, I don't know.
Yeah. So, which is the case for one tip that came in that did not get followed up on. This tip came in January of 1985. So,
and this is 84. So this is like 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So a man named Pastor Pankey called in.
The fuck is that name? I know. I'm sorry. That was stupid last name.
Okay. Well, he called in and he said that someone had confessed to kidnapping kidnapping. It's spelled John L, but it's pronounced Janelle. So confessed to kidnapping Janelle, but he didn't want to come forward because of like the pastor confidentiality, whatever the fuck.
Okay,
like
guess if someone, what? That doesn't exist.
Sorry, if you say you kidnapped a child, you're going to need to come forward.
If you say like, hey,
you don't get that confidentiality.
Cheated on my wife. That sucks.
Sure.
But that's not illegal.
Yeah.
But if you kidnap a child,
super not cool.
That needs to be followed up.
Yeah.
On.
You need to tell the police.
Yeah.
So officers thought it was a prank. But then
Fucking God, guys. I know. Even if it is a prank, just fucking follow up
like,
on
at
it.
Least that's like something that's like, I don't know, you should probably look into.
Yeah.
Like, the creepy guy at the corner store that you saw one time, do we need...
No.
Where are we going to find that guy? Like, welcome we don't to need the to corner waste store. Our time.
Yeah.
But, so then, Pastor Pinky actually showed up at the station and was like, yeah, like, this guy confessed. And they're all like,
okay. Did he have a name for the guy?
No. They were just like, whatever, move along.
Oh my fucking Goodbye. God, guys.
So remember that name, because it's weird. Pastor and we'll Pinky, come back to it.
I won't forget it.
So February 7th, 1985, the Matthews local church that they attended started a fundraiser. They printed out thousands of posters with Aww. Janelle's face on them. They were like, they just wanted to help. And they called the freaking White House. They were like, this one lady, Eileen Huff, she was a family friend. She's like, you know, the White House has a phone number and I called it.
Eileen, we love you.
We love you. So thanks to her.
Come on, Eileen.
Reagan actually made a speech about missing children in America.
Aww.
And he highlighted Janelle Matthews' missing persons case.
Okay, I love that so much. He literally
was like, on the TV being like, Janelle Matthews is missing. If anyone knows anything,
presidents
please.
Don't do that anymore.
No. Could you imagine?
No. I mean, could I imagine? I would love that. I would love to imagine it. But can I, like, physically?
Actually, no.
But the people we have now, no.
No.
They're just trying to figure out medicine.
Holy shit. They went all the way to the top, you know? Like, they're like.
Literally to the top.
This church is, like, doing things. And after the speech that President Reagan gave, the dairy company started putting and printing pictures of the missing children in America on milk cartons.
Yeah.
So Janelle was one of the first children that was on those missing children milk cartons.
Yeah.
Which is, like, crazy.
Well, do you remember growing up? Maybe you remember this, maybe you don't. There was, like, a book called...
By Caroline B. Cooney. The Face on the Milk Carton.
Yeah.
And it was like, but it was different. It was like the girl got kidnapped or she got taken from a mall and then
her parents never moved because they were super worried. Yeah.
Yes. I was wondering if that had anything to do with it. It has nothing to do with it.
Well, but that's what I think.
The only thing it has to do with is that in the 80s, there was milk carton children.
Milk carton children.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, it was just, like, an important movement because, like, I mean, this is pre-social media. So, like, for people to be seeing the children's faces on something, like, at the breakfast table, at dinner, when they're having their milk, which, like, who drinks milk anymore? But, like, people used to drink milk.
Not Kim. And lactose and
it was just keeping, like, the children's faces, like, top of mind in the public eye, which was, like, so important. Because,
like, it's hard to reach everyone. Totally. So, like, by all means necessary.
Mm-hmm. So more tips came in from all across the country. People are like, I've seen Janelle on, you know, in Washington. I've seen Janelle.
I was about to say, I know there were people, like, on the East Coast even. Like
literally
something.
All over the nation being like, I saw her and this and that. And, like, as much as people were trying to help, like, all of these leads just, they didn't lead anywhere and it didn't develop into anything. So police are at square one. Still. And with no leads, the police zone in on Jim Matthews, the father. He was basically suspect number one. And they convinced him to take a polygraph. And Jim being like, yeah, I didn't do shit. Like, I would never hurt my daughter. Like, I'll take
you
a polygraph.
You know what, though? I hate it, but they do have to, like, kind of rule out family.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
But what sucks is that Jim failed the polygraph because he was so upset that they were looking at him. Like, they, in this documentary, they kind of, like, shared some audio and he was like, no, I didn't take her. I didn't do anything to her. I would never do that. And he's just like, what I want is some answers and you guys aren't giving me anything. And so, you know, the polygraph is based off of your heart rate and your blood pressure and all this stuff. So
and
he's
that's
getting
why they're
elevated.
Taking it out of, like, the thing because people have anxiety and they're like, oh yeah, you can fail because you're just,
so,
like, anxious.
Yeah, he failed it. And then in the detective's minds are like, well, he's good for it. It's him. And although they are highly suspicious of him because of that polygraph test, they still have nothing. They have nothing that would be
nothing
any sort
concrete.
Of concrete to, like, make it actually legit. Well,
polygraphs are really helpful, I feel like, when you have a little bit of evidence.
Yeah, but they had nothing. So yeah. It was like...
That's what I'm saying. Like, they didn't have, like, evidence. What are they gonna do? Maybe... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
So he just kind of felt like they were taking the easy way out. Like, they're blaming him because they had nothing else to go off of. And fortunately, since they didn't have anything else to go off of, like, the house was still intact. There was no sign of a struggle. Like, there was nothing pointing to him that would actually, like, substantiate that claim. Yeah, and he had no motive. So they just kind of sat there being suspicious of him for years. And the case sat cold until 2013.
Which is wild to me.
Wild. So Detective Robert Cash took over the case. He was actually a Greeley resident, and he went to high school with the older sister, Jennifer. So he personally knew the family.
A little bit of skin in the game, is what I like to say.
And he was determined to find answers. Like, it had been so long, no one could come up with anything. And so he started going through all of the files from the case, and in his own words, he said it was a mess. But in July of 2019,
wow, I'm so surprised.
He came across the tips from Pastor Steve Pankey. Now,
I remember that name because it's the weirdest.
There were
name.
Literally two reports of Steve Pankey just straight up telling police that Janelle was kidnapped and murdered, and that Russell Ross was involved, and that they should check out the church.
Russell Ross?
He was the dad who dropped her off. The friend's dad.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So Detective Cash starts in on these leads. He confronted Russell Ross. He's like, hey.
I assumed with the garage door being open, somebody like went in there and chilled for a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
Or somebody was like waiting in the shot, you know?
Yeah. But like, yeah. So he confronts Russell Ross about this Steve Pankey character. And he's like, what's the deal? Why is he saying that you know some stuff? Why is he saying that you're the one that we should be looking at? And Russell's like, oh, this fucking guy. Steve was in a position lower than Russell at a job. So Russell was his immediate boss.
Yeah.
And Steve basically had some sort of confrontation with Russell where he claimed that Russell beat his ass at work. And Russ is like, this guy is fucking nuts.
I'm confused. Like, yeah. He beat him up like, physically?
Yeah. And Russell's like, okay. Dude, I never touched this man. We had a disagreement. It never got past words. Like,
God, I've never laid hands like on that. This person. Yeah.
Like, he's batshit. And furthermore, there was absolutely no evidence to substantiate Pankey's claim. Like, he's just lying.
Well, here's a question, too. Because, like, okay, after hearing that, did Russell Ross go to this church? Was he religious?
Yeah. So, all of these people, Russell Ross and, like, his daughter went to the same church that Janelle's family went to. And the same church that fundraised and got the president involved and got
the
her face on
the same church that Pankey works at?
He didn't know. No, he didn't work there.
Okay, so a little interesting.
But keep the church in mind, because that will come into play later as well.
Okay.
So Steve Pankey, he held a massive grudge against Russell Ross for years. And April of 2019, Detective Robert Cash called Steve Pankey, and he's like, hey, what's the deal with you telling us that Russell Ross is involved? Like, he's clearly not. We've cleared him. Like,
he said you were insane. Yeah. So explain yourself.
Like, tell me what's going on. And again, Steve is like talking shit on Russell, just being like, yeah, he's involved, all this stuff. But what's strange about his phone call is that he's like telling the detective, like, he wants a deal before he says any more details about what he knows. And Detective
Cash, the deal where like, what's it called? Where you have nothing happen to you.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, and I cannot think of it.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah, and so Detective Cash is like, immunity? A deal for what?
Immunity, yeah. Right?
And he's like, why would you need a deal if you're not involved
and
in
you
anything?
Just happen to hear it?
Yeah, like, what?
I'm sorry, when somebody asks for immunity, I'm immediately, like, side-eyeing
them. Yeah, totally. So, yeah, Steve Pankey's looking hella suspicious. And now Detective Cash, he's like, okay, I need to do some more investigating. This guy's like fucking weird.
Yeah, this is weirding me out.
He finds out that Steve Pankey had an ex-wife. And her name is Angela no, Hicks.
No, I'm just kidding.
Not her. Yeah.
Not an ex-wife.
So Angela Hicks, he calls her. And he's like, let me see if I can get some dirt on this fucking weirdo and see what's going on. And she's got
Angie
some
Hicks
fucking
will tell
dirt.
You some shit, won't she?
She's got some dirt.
Do we like her?
We love her.
Okay.
She is actually Angie. The hero of this story.
Okay. That's so, what I'm like, wait, before I'm like, Angie's a homie. I'm like, I need to
oh, no,
make
she's
sure
a homie.
She's a homie.
So when Cash called her in 2014 and asked about her ex and if she remembered the case of Janelle Matthews.
She's like, what do you want?
She's
know?
Like, didn't you get my report from like 1999, like 25
no
years
bitch,
ago.
We did. Oh, okay, but like kind
and
of
he's
fucked
like,
you a little bit.
What? She's like, yeah, I've been waiting for you guys to call me for like 25 years. Like I sent in a whole bunch of information, never heard back. And he's like, I don't have any of this information.
No, we're just
and
trying
he's
to
like,
find dirt.
He's caught off guard, and he's like, okay, catch me up. And she's like, okay, well, let's start from the fucking top. She's like, this is what you got to know about shitty Steve Pankey. They had married in 1978, and pretty much from the very start...
It's like 6 years before the whole murder happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
From the start of their marriage, he was incredibly violent towards her. He would beat her and threaten that if she ever tried to leave, he'd kill her in front of their two sons.
Jesus Christ.
Kill the sons, and then kill himself. So obviously... It was not an easy
so he's
exit from a relationship.
Unhinged. No.
Like people
why didn't you
always
leave?
Ask,
well,
why didn't you leave?
How much
it's
time
a little
do you
bit
have?
More complicated than that.
Yes.
So
always.
In 1984, Angela tells Cash about how Steve started acting very strangely. So Pankey's family.
Just to put it lightly, right?
Yeah. Pankey's family had invited them to come to Big Bear for Christmas for the holiday. But Steve was, like, not really a Christmas guy, and he didn't like his family that much. And he was like, no, we're not going. And
I can't relate. Just kidding.
So they weren't planning on going. But on December 21st, 1984, Steve changed his mind randomly and was in a huge rush to get out of town.
I wonder why.
I wonder why.
What a mystery.
He ordered Angela to pack up the family, get the car ready,
ordered.
And get ready for a road trip. Yeah,
ordered.
Basically, she was like, in describing him, she was like, I was his property. He thought of me as an object. He thought of me as something that was to be owned. And she was always like, pretty much walking on eggshells because anything could trigger him and he would just go off on her.
I want to give her a big hug.
I know. Yeah, it was, she's... Such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
So at the time, she was like, weird, okay. Like, I mean, I don't know why you suddenly changed your mind, but like,
but all right,
I guess
I
we're
guess.
In a hurry to get
yeah.
out of here. So she packs up the car, she packs up the kids, and just kind of listened to what he told her to do. So they arrived in Big Bear on December 23rd, but because he had told his family we're not going, they weren't expecting him. So then it created this weird tension and it was super fucking awkward because they were like, oh, wait, you said you weren't coming and now you just showed up randomly?
Like kind
what
of
the fuck?
Maybe thanks for giving us a heads up.
Yeah,
like,
thanks for telling us
nice.
Your entire family's coming and like
yeah.
now we're not prepared for it because we didn't think you were coming. So things got even worse when Steve and his dad got into a big argument and because of this, Steve
I'm
was
sure
like.
It was her fault too.
I don't even know. It was, I don't know what it was about. She yeah. didn't really get into it, but she was like, basically they got into the argument and then he's like, okay, we're going back to Greeley. Pack up the car again. And she's like, okay, let me just fucking get everything back together. Like, and we're going to road trip again from California to Colorado. Like, cool.
Yeah.
So again, she's just like,
whatever.
She's not going to question it
life
because
is a fucking nightmare anyway.
There's no way to yeah. question him and not get like
yelled at.
Or worse.
Yeah.
Steve is super agitated, and on the way
yes, he's home, only the victim.
Right. They're listening to the radio, and, like, the news of Janelle Matthews was all over the radio. It was, like, big news. Like,
yeah.
And especially now that the president had talked on it, like, people were talking about it, and there was just no leads, and so it was just, like, updates on the news. Angela noted that Steve seemed to be, like, weirdly stoked that the police were, at this time, directing their attention towards Russell Ross, his, like, sworn enemy, mm-hmm. who he hates.
Yeah.
And she was just like, okay, weird. Like noted.
Why does he care?
Why is he so invested? And especially in, like, a case, like, we don't know this little girl. Like, it's sad, obviously, but, like, why is he, like, overly interested,
okay,
kind of thing?
So, like, obviously you and I like true crime,
yeah,
right? But if, like, a true crime case that I hadn't talked about and I feel like you would feel this way about Steven, if he was suddenly super fucking obsessed with it,
yeah,
wouldn't it be make, like, you feel really weird?
Yeah, why are you so invested?
Yeah, why do you care?
And it's strange that he was, like, almost, like, giddy. Like, oh, they're looking at Russell. Oh, so excited.
I immediately would be like, okay. What the fuck?
So then red flags go off in Angela's head on December 28th when Steve lit the family car on fire. He just lit it on fire at the back
you
of their property.
You don't light your car on fire? That's
yeah.
kind of strange.
She's just
I
like,
always light my car on fire.
What the fuck? This dude is losing it. And she's terrified because, like, she doesn't know what's going on with him. He's already kind of, like, you don't know what's going to happen
iffy.
With him.
Yeah.
And now he's fucking lighting a car on fire? Like,
no,
dude.
Thanks. I'm good.
So another instance where she gets mega weird vibes from her husband was, oh my God, this one's so fucking creepy. They were at church and the pastor, uh-huh. he's like, hey guys, good news. I got word from the Lord that, sorry, I can't say that without laughing. Sorry.
You know what? You know what, though? I'm constantly getting words from the Lord.
I
gotta tell ya.
Getting great news from the Lord all the time.
I think I'm mentally ill from it.
So he was like, guys, the Lord told me that Janelle would be returned safely to her family and everything's gonna be fine. Huh. And fucking Steve says under his breath, false prophet. And Angela's like, she, like, looks at him, and then he stands up and says louder so everyone can hear, false prophet. And she's like, oh my God, this is so
what
fucking
the fuck
embarrassing.
Is happening?
And, like, what do you mean, false prophet, you psycho? Do you, like,
how do you know
something?
Who the real prophet is? Yeah.
Like, how do you know that she's not going to be returned safely? Like, that's creepy. So, not
Should
only is she embarrassed.
Should we go to... Okay.
But...
I'm thinking you and me need to start going to, like, religious conventions, and you and me need to be like, false prophet! False prophet!
That sounds like my worst nightmare. So...
oh, so it sounds like a fucking nightmare? Because same.
Yeah. So, he's, like, all sorts of agitated. He's, like, saying, like,
oh,
you know,
Christ.
This isn't true. That's not correct. And so, like, it gets to the point where, like, some other people in the church have to, like, escort him out. They're like, sir, you're ruining Sunday for everyone.
You don't know if
it's
he's
bizarre.
A false prophet. Oh my God, that's fucking embarrassing.
Yeah. So, again, Angela is just like, what is going on?
Why am I here?
Why is he, like, why would he
my
know
Uber's
that?
My Uber's here, I need to leave.
Why would he know anything about Janelle Matthews at all? And... so she wouldn't hear more about it until 1999, when Steve tells Angela that police are wanting info from him about Janelle Matthews. And she is like, what? Why would you have information about her?
And
then he's
prophet.
Like, the creepiest thing, he was like, do you really think that I would hurt her? She looks just like you. Like, what? She said her blood ran cold. Like, she was like...
I didn't...
He did something to this child.
This is not about me, you fucking weirdo.
Yeah. So then Angela's like, okay, I need to start looking for some fucking clues. Like, one, I need to get out of this marriage, and two, I need to like see what I can find out about him and his connection to this little girl.
Oh my God.
So Steve loved suing people. And then there were also lots of people.
So like on his like Bumble profile. He's like
love to sue. Love suing. And like lots of people.
Suing is very expensive. Fun
yeah.
fact.
Yeah. And lots of people like sued him back. And so he's got all sorts of like suing things happening. And he had a whole bunch of paperwork and like notepads and notebooks.
I mean,
and
who knows what the future holds, but maybe we'll just go sue Happy and then they'll sue us back. And we'll just be like, guys, Mysterious Mavens,
no, I'll sue you first.
We are in lawsuits.
Right? So like, he's just got like papers on papers of just like literally it's like notes of just like random like things all just like scribbled onto pieces of paper.
I'm not gonna say who, but this makes me laugh. I had a friend and her mom was dating a guy, so it was her mom's boyfriend, and he tried to okay. Have you been to Texas Roadhouse recently?
Not recently. Why?
Okay, but you know how they like throw peanuts on the floor?
Yeah.
Okay, he tried to have a lawsuit with Texas Roadhouse about slipping on the peanuts.
Oh my God. Don't be so stupid.
Oh,
it what gets an better. American thing to do.
I know, right? Me and her would laugh about it. And because we're like, what the fuck? But he would still go to Texas Roadhouse all the time. Oh my God.
That's like their thing. Like, just don't.
But he was like, I slipped on the peanuts. And me and her were like, then stop fucking going to Texas yeah. Roadhouse. What are you doing?
Just don't go there.
Still go there all you the dumb? Time. He was in Greeley, ironically.
Wow. Greeley.
I forgot about that. I'm like, oh, side note. It was the Greeley Texas Roadhouse. So, you know, count your days. I'm just kidding.
What a dumbass.
He didn't. I don't think it went
It anywhere. Never went through because yeah. that's what they do there.
That's like their thing.
Yeah.
Which I think is still super funny. So.
What a moron.
Go on.
Anyways, so yeah, he's got a whole bunch of stacks and stacks of paper. Just like he writes notes on everything. And like, she's just like, let me just like take a look at this. So she found some interesting notes on a piece of paper with just like seemingly random shit on it. And it said, Janelle dead before 10th Street in Greeley. Then she found ripped up pieces of paper that were like sentences about the snow outside and that the snow had been raked. And so,
what the fuck?
Yeah, who writes this stuff down? Yeah, like what are you doing, boomer? You don't need to write everything down. Anyways, she brought it to the police. And she had to be like sneaky about it so that he wouldn't like find out she stole some of his papers. So she like packed up the papers like in like a laundry bag as if she was like going to go do laundry. And then, like, took it to the police. Because she just had to be, like, so on
I hate point that for her, but, like, smart.
Because he was yeah. so, like, anything would just make him fly off the handle.
Sounds like it.
So that was a huge thing. Because it had not been publicly revealed that the snow outside of the Matthews house had been raked.
I think a lot of people don't realize, like, a lot of cases had been solved because information was revealed that was not revealed to the public.
Yeah, that so only the killer like, would know.
I almost said ghost, Jesus. The cops are keeping stuff close. The ghosts are keeping stuff close to the chest because if somebody can reveal that, that can show kind of like,
yeah, that they were there.
Yeah, exactly.
So at this point, she was living in Idaho. So she went to the Idaho police. She explained the whole case that had happened back in Greeley.
And this is back in 1999, yes. Like when they called her again. Okay, so she like went into a police
office. She went into the police station.
After they had talked to her in Colorado?
No. Like, no one had talked to her. This was before.
Okay,
they talked to her in
2014. Okay, 2014. Okay, so she like was like, okay, so she, I'm sorry, I'm trying to understand this. So she made a report in 1999.
Yeah, that they had no one had ever given to Greeley
police.
So she
was like, let me try this one more time.
So when Cash called her in 2014 and was like, tell me about your ex. And she was like, you didn't get my report from 1999. And he was like, no. This is her filling him in. She's like, back in 1999, I found all this shit, gave it to Idaho police.
Okay,
told
okay,
them
that's what
to
I wanted
send
to
it to Greeley. And apparently they just fucking
didn't. Of course they didn't.
So, basically.
Wow, I'm so surprised I'm not.
She had been waiting for the police to contact her and, like, ask her questions for decades and heard nothing. And so when Detective Cash called her, she was like, it's been a while. Like,
it's been a while.
Yeah. So luckily, Angela did escape the violent marriage. And
God.
When Cash had called her, obviously she was his, she was Steve Pankey's ex. So she wasn't like afraid to like divulge this information at this point. Yeah, good for her.
I love that she.
But in 1999, she was afraid to let that information out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So when she told Cash about the notes and talking about the raked snow, that was his like, oh shit, we're onto something. And Angela's information with this case helped, like, if not basically allowed this case to be solved. Like, she is the hero of this case.
Yeah, thank God.
So a few years later, after many long hours of investigating, on July 24th in 2019, detectives called the Matthews and they let them know that they had found Janelle's remains. It was on County Road 34 and a half. They called it the Road to Nowhere. Ugh. Skeletal remains were found. Obviously, it had been like fucking a million years. The skull had
30, 40 years.
A gunshot wound to the forehead.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Christ.
And the braces were still on the teeth.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, so
heartbreaking.
Sad. So she was found in an oil and gas site. And her family finally had a little bit of closure, but now they still had to deal with getting justice for their girl.
Her. Yeah.
August of 2019, police show up at Steve's house. He was surprised that the police were there and they still had
really?
No, he was in Idaho because in 2002 he like ran for governor. Like this dude is like crazy. Like,
sounds like a sitcom. What you're telling me?
He's weird.
Where he runs for governor.
Yeah, so he's surprised that they're there, but they had a warrant to search his home. They seized his computers and they found that after the news broke that Janelle's remains were found, he had Google searched her thousands of times. Like, literal thousands of times trying to see what they knew.
Yeah.
He turns out Steve Pankey not only held a grudge towards Russell Ross and was stalking him, but he also hated the church that he attended because he had been kicked out. So he hated that church and all the people who attended because in 1977, a woman named Deborah Moon accused Pankey of raping her repeatedly for 4 hours.
That's so scary.
The case went to trial, but charges were dropped because it was a situation of he said, she said.
Oh my God, fuck off.
And of course it was dismissed and they just like never did anything about it. Off. So he didn't get any jail time, but local news covered it and he felt like his name was tarnished because of it. And obviously the churchgoers looked at him differently. They were like, dude, like, what the fuck?
I mean, we don't let people like the rapist, Brock Alan Turner, who now goes by Alan Turner, the rapist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We don't let them get away with shit.
No. So he was basically like kind of like excommunicated from his church. And then because Russell Ross went there and he was like mad at that guy, he also hated him more. So in October of 2020, he was arrested. October of 2021, he pleaded not guilty. Now, here's what sucks. There was no DNA because, like, it was skeletal remains. Sure, I mean,
it's 40 years.
There's no, like, link of him to the Matthews home.
Wow.
And he never had a gun, supposedly, of the caliber that was used to kill Janelle. And what sucks about the first trial is that although Angela could testify what she found in regards to Janelle's murder, she was not allowed to mention any of his previous domestic violence towards her. And the lawyers...
guess a lot of it was circumstantial evidence.
They just were kind of like, if the defense doesn't bring it up, we can't go into it.
Oh my fucking God.
And they weren't allowed to mention the rape accusation from 1977.
Why?
So all of that background info says, like, so much about who this man is, what his tendencies are. He's clearly violent. He is kind of like a loose cannon, but they're not allowed to even mention that. So the jury deliberated for 3 days. They couldn't come to a decision and the trial was deemed a mistrial. Now the second time around, they were able to get into the domestic abuse and the rape of Deb Moon because the defense somehow like brought it up. And then if they brought it up, then they could be like, well, you opened that door, so now we're going to go there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And
so October 31st of 2022, he was finally convicted of murder.
33rd birthday?
Yes.
That's a good gift.
Kidnapping in the first degree, murder. He was also found guilty, and he was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole after 20 years. But he'll be like
last week's thing. He'll be dead by 17. Yeah.
Yeah. Or hopefully he'll be dead by then.
Hopefully.
The Matthews family is ever grateful to Detective Cash, and they finally feel like justice has been served.
Yeah.
Gloria says that although some of her fellow churchgoers have urged her to forgive Steve Pankey.
No, fuck that.
She says she cannot and she will not.
Good. You guys don't have to forgive anyone you don't forgive on your own. And I will never
That's unforgivable.
Fault somebody for you. Yeah. Well, because some people are like, you have to forgive him. I'm like, fuck him. I'm never going to forgive my ex what he did to me. I'm never going to fucking forgive him. People
and
are
you
like,
don't have to.
Well, maybe your heart. No. Fuck him. Anger
and like
anger
it's just sad because like he took their child, like it was so sad. Like when Jim was talking
not
about
that
her,
there's
he
ever
was
a
like,
reason, but it was so like random.
Yeah, and he was know? Like, we only got 12 years with her, and I was just like, that is so fucking sad.
That's so short.
And like he That's basically so Steve Pankey just like followed Russell Ross like. As they were driving her home and then like saw an opportunity and just like was a creep and took it, you know, like it,
that's so,
and tried to like frame Russell for it. And it's just like,
I know.
Dude,
what is wrong with you? Get
it's super
help.
Not Christian.
Seek help.
Yeah. So anyways, it's just, it's a messed up story. I had never heard of it. And it was just like, how have I never heard of this? But
I mean, I've heard of it, but it's not widely covered.
No.
And it's probably just because it's, like, in Colorado. But, like, yeah. I didn't know the ins and outs. I knew, like, there was a choir concert. That's
yeah.
all I knew.
Yeah.
So,
sad, sad story.
Yeah. We'll
I don't
pictures.
Usually like to do children ones, but I felt like it was important for,
yeah,
like,
no.
the milk carton thing.
Every case is really important.
Yeah. Yeah. Super important. But
any case leads us forward in, like, the true crime world of figuring out murders and stuff like that. So
yeah
we'll post pictures of her and everything on our Instagram, and that's Mysterious Mavens Pod just on Instagram.
And if you have any stories for us, any recommendations, or literally anything, you can email us at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
we're also on Facebook and TikTok, so just look us up.
Give
we're
us a follow.
We're not on Twitter or whatever, X. No, thank you.
Yeah, like, no.
We're good.
So anyways, until next time,
self-care
for
yourself.
Okay,
all right, bye.
Bye.